During the last 2 weeks of December alone, 2.5 million people will move through SeaTac Airport. In 2016, SeaTac became the 9th busiest airport in the world. But sometimes getting planes off the ground can be complicated.
This past June, a heat wave swept through the Southwest. Nothing new, right? This time, it was so hot that airplanes couldn't take off. In Phoenix, temperatures hit 119 degrees Fahrenheit and dozens of flights were canceled. Hotter weather makes for thinner air, so airlines had to drop weight by paying their customers to give up their seats or delay flights until it cooled off later in the day. It was one of those moments where it feels like nature might be trying to tell us something.
Nature might be trying to tell us something. Ashley Ahern has spent a lot of time thinking about this, about nature and airplane travel, for her latest episode of the environment podcast Terrestrial. Hi, Ashley.
Hello, Jeannie.
So in the episode, you talk with a woman named Janice who decided she needed to stop flying.
Yes.
Why?
Janice Ray. She's a beautiful, such a talented writer, and she's a longtime environmental activist. And so she was making her living traveling around the country, giving talks and book signings and living the life, right? The jet-setting author life. And then she had this moment where she went to give a talk. She was, you know, kind of came in for the day and was sitting about to go up. And there was a board member at this college that is, you know, prides itself on being very sustainability minded, environmental focused. And she realized that so many people in the room had flown in just for this one thing. And she just kind of had this moment where she was like, holy crap, we're speaking out of two sides of our mouths here. We're not walking the walk. And so she decided to give up flying. And she hasn't been on a plane in 10 years.
We're not walking the walk, meaning none of us have considered the carbon footprint of all of the flights that we took just to get here for the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for many Americans, airplane travel is one of the top three contributors to their carbon footprint annually.
Well, when you were talking with Janice, what struck you the most about her story? She sounds like a pretty fascinating woman.
She is. First of all, she has the most amazing accent. She is from Georgia. But that I think what surprised me about her is that she grew up in poverty. She has not enjoyed, you know, privilege her entire life. And I think that it's a privilege to even think about a lot of the environmental questions that we try to unpack in this podcast. And I think that, you know, she comes at it from the sense of you learn how to make do with less. She talks about her parents who run a junkyard in Georgia where she grew up as like people who are probably living the most environmental ethic you could live in terms of reusing, you know, like, and not flying. They've never been on commercial airplanes, she says. So for her, I think that this decision was a very conscious environmentally, you know, it came from her environmental ethics. She went away to college and started reading Wendell Berry. And, you know, she's a big fan of Bill McKibben. And so she has all of the environmental street cred in the environmental movement. But she comes from such a surprising background, you know, fundamentalist Christian upbringing, rural, agricultural, poor, and still made this really surprising choice.
Well, you talked a little bit about some of the puzzle pieces that sort of got her to be thinking about environmentalism, reading Bill McKibben, Wendell Berry, those kinds of things. But how did she go from growing up in, I mean, a junkyard in Georgia to becoming an environmentalist writer and speaker? How did that happen?
Well, so her dad didn't finish high school, but he really wanted his kids to have a formal education. And so he, you know, she went to college in Florida and then she went on and got an MFA. And so was living in Vermont and kind of traveling around. And I think that, you know, there she was exposed to environmentalist thinking, writing in academia. But she didn't let go of her roots. And I think that the realization that she needed to give up flight came in part from a feeling of disconnect with her sense of place and where she'd come from.
Well, and eventually, and this was something that surprised me in the episode, Janice decided to move back home.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I kept asking her that. I was like, well, no, actually, I started like you. I said, well, why did you leave? You know, what got you out of Georgia? And she was like, well, the better question is actually, why did I go back? And so 9 years ago, she and her husband decided that they had lost touch with her people and her part of the world and where she came from. And she's from, you know, her family goes back generations in this one part of Georgia. And so she, you know, used her money and bought a farm and lives, you know, not far from her parents and also not far from a train line. So she uses, you know, takes the train and she can get to New York, you know, by the following day if she gets on a train in Jessup, Georgia. And so she's sort of said that she's, through making this decision, has been able to reconnect with her own roots and her own sense of place. And I think I went into this episode thinking, well, this is about carbon footprints and environmental impact. And it's actually about relationships and people and where we come from and how we lose that connection. And it's not to say airplanes are a bad thing. God, I wouldn't be able to live here if it weren't for airplanes. My family is all back in Boston. So, like, I am so grateful for this innovation, but I also know that it comes with a cost. And that's kind of what we're trying to wrestle with in Terrestrial.
I'm talking with Ashley Ahern. She hosts KUOW's environment podcast, Terrestrial. And as we've been discussing, this latest episode is about a woman who stops flying and eventually moves back to her hometown. And we asked listeners how their lives would change if they stopped flying, including listeners who are part of the Terrestrial Facebook group. And Craig, who's part of the Terrestrial Facebook group, wrote this: "I'd see my friends and family much less or not at all," kind of like you, mm-hmm. Ashley. And then he basically attempts to solve the problem. He says, "What we need to do is reconfigure our mass transit to run on trains and ships, and people need longer paid vacations to accommodate the longer travel times. Problem solved." What do you think, Ashley?
We love you, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
I mean, I think Craig, he's made some comments in the group that I think are really smart and interesting, pointing the finger at the system, right? That the system doesn't make it easy for us to make these, quote unquote, better or lower carbon choices. And I think that that's really a question that is at the core of so much environmental thought, that, like, do we take the blame personally as, like, it's my fault for flying on airplanes, or is it the fault of the system that makes it impossible for me to take the train where I need to get to in this country? I don't have the answer to that question. I love that, you know, for some people, it's a very simple, like, externalize it, it's the system. For others, it's a deeply personal, heart-wrenching, guilt-inducing problem whether or not they personally get on an airplane to see their families. Probably most of us are somewhere in the middle, and we're just trying to get by, and we're just trying to see our families over the holidays and, like, maintain our relationships.
Well, that idea of the system being the problem, one of the things that surprised me in the episode was a conclusion that Janice draws, which is that this system of travel, that flying, it's like an achievement, an accomplishment, mm-hmm. right? If we jet set all over the place, if we fly all over the place, that says something about who we are, how important we are, you know, how busy we are, all of that. That's not something that I considered about flying. Was there anything in this episode that caused you to think a little bit differently about air travel?
I mean, looking through my Facebook feed or social media feed, sure, I have so many friends that talk about their MVP status and having to jet and then, like, posting awesome pictures from wherever they are around the world when they go to these awesome places. And, like, I travel so much for work, too, and for family. So I am completely guilty as charged. And the point of the show is never to be, like, pointing the finger, making people feel bad. It's just to kind of be exploring ideas. So I don't, you know, did it change me personally? I mean, the Terrestrial production team, like, my editor's in Maine and our sound designer is in LA. So, like, we're all remote and we meet on Slack and we have phone calls and conference calls every week. Like, we're not flying in to see each other more than once a year, I would say, maybe twice. So trying to be conscious of that, but also acknowledging that for so many people, they wouldn't have a job. They wouldn't have a livelihood if they couldn't fly. And also that this city is fascinating right now. The Puget Sound region, as it booms, like, so many people are moving here from elsewhere and they're leaving behind family. And that's a luxury. That's a class thing, that we have the privilege to relocate and take jobs in foreign places or faraway cities and still be able to go home and see our parents. So I don't mean to cast, you know, throw shade on that by any means. I think it's an interesting part of our modern lives that is changing our family relationships.
Well, we have a lot more responses from listeners on Facebook to this question: what would your life look like if you stopped flying? And Ariel points out, this question is assuming you have the means to travel mm-hmm. by air in the first place. Again, the privilege question, right? KUOW listeners may, but work trips, academic conferences, interstate or international vacations are not the norm for all Americans. What do you think about that? You're nodding along as
yeah.
what Ariel has to say.
And that's why we featured Janice, because I did not want to... I wanted to show that this is a choice that everyone can make, but not everyone comes from the same place of privilege of being able to make that choice or having to face that choice even. But it does raise the question for me about, in the larger climate conversation, that oftentimes the wealthy are, the developed nations are the biggest culprits when it comes to CO2 emissions per capita or as a country. And so I think that, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, right? Like, that means that we should be asking these questions. We should be thinking about this stuff because, yeah, we have the privilege to be flying, many of us, many KOW listeners. And that I think requires a certain amount of reflection.
Well, I wanted to get back to Janice, who's in this episode. She talked a little bit about, she talked about relationships, the same thing that you came to realize this episode was about, and, you know, the cost that we pay when we live far away from our families and our hometowns.
Modern life requires of us to be so fragmented We leave the places we love. We leave, most of us leave the family we love. So I think we give up a lot of things that I think are essential to leading good lives, essential to our humanity.
So you said before your family lives on the other side of the country. My family lives in the Midwest. I just flew back from seeing them earlier this week. What did this episode show you about how our relationships with our families and our hometowns change when we only can get to them by airplane?
It was really interesting. I was surprised at how much it kind of hit me personally. So my parents split up after 33 years of marriage in the last like 2 years. And so every time I go home, my three siblings are all home. They live within 40 miles of my parents. And so they're living this every day, and they're finding the healing through the small interactions, walking the dogs together, like spending time with my dad, you know, meeting my mom's new boyfriend, these kinds of things that just like help you heal from a big change in your family. And I fly home maybe twice a year, and I parachute in for a couple days, and it's hard every time, right? Like you relive the pain of that every time, and it's new. Whereas, you know, my brother kind of called me out on it, and he was like, you come home and like you try to get everybody together and have these big dinners, and you want to see everyone when you're home, and the truth is we're all getting by in our own ways, and we don't want to have those big dinners. Like, let's spend some real quality time when you're home instead of this sort of like the high pressure, intense flying in for like these family connections that I miss and I yearn for just like everyone else does in their families. And it's fundamentally different. And I think if I was there, if I wasn't on the other side of the country, I'd probably be adjusting every day as opposed to having it sort of abruptly resurfaced every time I fly home. So that was just a personal reflection that I wasn't expecting in putting together this episode. But I think that maybe my family relationships would be better if I was closer to my parents. Yeah, like and my siblings.
Or, I mean, I hadn't thought about this either, but maybe we need to adjust our expectations of what a relationship looks like when we live so far away from people. It's certainly what I'll be thinking about as I Skype with my parents on Christmas morning instead of spending actual time with them.
Yeah, I'm not going to be home for Christmas either, so.
Terrestrial host Ashley Ahern, thank you so much for coming in. I really enjoyed talking with you.
My pleasure.
She's the host, as I mentioned, of the environment podcast Terrestrial, and we are tweeting out a link to the latest episode. And to subscribe, do so now. This is The Record.